If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Happy Monday. Welcome into Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. May the 4th be with you, Zo.
Oh, it's one of those things.
Yeah. It's Star Wars Day.
One of Zo's favorite days.
It is. It's Kent State Day, too, right? Wow, someone got a haircut this weekend. Holy Jesus. Oh! Who cut that bad boy?
I'm jealous.
I did. Myself.
You just said, let's go.
You can't tell.
Listen, my hairline is all effed up anyway.
Yeah, okay? You got to see my guy, man.
I'm losing my hair. What do you want me to do about that, Hardy?
Dr. Robert Leonard.
Really? Are they open right now?
Dr. Hines.
Dr. Matthew Lepresti, Dr. Robert Leonard.
Look, I do Dee Stefano.
I got so much hair, I don't know what to do with it all.
Yeah.
I found out my neighbor across the street actually cuts hair. She did a bunch of people's hair yesterday. I didn't even know about it. And she said, by all means, stop on over. So I think I'm going to get this taken care of this week.
My daughter cut mine again yesterday. She's just cutting it up. Like, I'm never paying for a haircut again.
So your hair, your hair always looks good, though.
Well, you wash it and you get a nice blow on it, you know.
That's right. The last man in America still using a blow dryer on his own hair, Scott Zolak.
It's the only way you get the foof in the front, you know. Leave me alone. Everybody just leave me alone.
How'd you feel over the weekend, Zo, when Andy Dalton went to the Dallas Cowboys?
Joy, elation. Laughing at people. Glad that we attempted to force at least a segment and a half on Friday because that's all we deemed it worthy. Laughable. Cowboys, what are you doing? You just tagged Dak. You got a franchise tag of $31.5 million on him. You're going to do a long-term deal with him. Really, are you going to, Dak's shaking in his boots because you signed the red rifle, the turnover machine, the dumpster fire that Andy Dalton is? Now, this is what the Cowboys do. They bring in veterans. They've had John Kitna. Who's the other guy they've had? Another first-round pick they brought in.
Along with Prescott?
No. I think it was he backed up Romo. Going back to Romo. They've always had veteran backups. I think Brandon Whedon was there for a while. Hmm. Was it Rob Johnson there at 1.2 late in his career? Can't remember that. Brad Johnson. I'm sorry, not Rob Johnson. Brad Johnson. It's what the Cowboys do. It's they panic just in case something would happen to the starter. If the starter goes down, you're in trouble anyway, really. But thank you, Dallas. Thank you. Thank you for swapping him up. And Andy Dalton was bitching about, it wasn't a good market out there for me. And, they're still under contract. And, the teams are real ahead of it. They had to draft quarterbacks. And I didn't get a chance to jump into free agency. Dallas is a decent spot for him, I think. He has a home in Dallas, so it's turnkey from him. He's from down there. So go back to Dallas, finish your career there. You had a nice career. You got $60 million in cash sitting there. Just go have fun. Go play for Dallas. Have some fun.
I was just looking at something. I think we may have a breaking news NFL story.
Oh, good. This is great.
It's not a good one. Oh. No, someone passed away. They're just trying to see if we have that confirmed from blue check marks from various places. It looks like we do. Looks like there's a couple of blue check marks that have it. Don Shula passed away.
Oh, you're kidding.
The age of 90. I didn't realize he was already 90 years old.
I think he was dealing with dementia,
I didn't
too.
I didn't know he was 90 years old there. Either.
I wouldn't have thought he was that old. But he was 90 years old. So, yeah, that's according to a number of blue check-marked reporters out of Florida, including Barry Jackson at the Miami Herald.
I'm sure Bill had it first.
Yeah. So that's out there. Yeah, I just wanted to put that story out there. I don't think that was in headlines a few minutes ago. So anyway, from the New England perspective on Andy Dalton, for me, it's total relief. Like, good. They're not considering going to a guy like Andy Dalton. It doesn't appear that Andy Dalton is in their plans.
Move. It was a panic move if they did it.
It didn't appear that he was at all in their plans, is what I mean to say by that. And they didn't really pursue him. They didn't go after him. So they're not interested in that type of guy. So they are investing in the plan of going with Jarrett Stidham. So good. Yeah. We don't have to worry about Andy Dalton coming here. From the Dallas angle, though, I actually think it's insurance if Dak doesn't show up and he holds out.
Yeah.
And I think given everything that has happened in the real world here in the last 2 months, that maybe the Dallas Cowboys have tried to use that to their advantage in the negotiations in trying to maybe scare Dak into settling for something less than what he wanted. And he hasn't done that, and he's threatening to hold out. And if he's threatening to hold out, well, then what are they going to be left with?
Right, right,
right. So, no, it's a good point. I mean, there are many reasons why Dallas, I think, signed him. You knew it wasn't going to have to be for big money, so he gets a $3 million guaranteed deal. Could be upwards of $7 million if he does play from an incentive-laden contract. So it's a decent deal for Dalton, you know, for what he was making.
Well, plus it's fine, too, but as you said, it's like, you said, yeah, you know, for Andy Dalton, sure, you know, go to Dallas, play football, have fun. I don't think he's going to be playing any football. He's gonna make some nice guaranteed money. He's not going to have to move. He lives in Dallas. He's going to stay in Dallas. And he's going to get a nice paycheck out of it. And yeah. I don't think he's going to play. You think he's going to play?
Well, I mean, if Dak doesn't show up, then he's going to get all the reps in camp.
I don't think it's a competition, though.
It's not a competition. It's a safety net.
It more has to do with the contract. Every scenario in which he ends up playing would be out of a for Dak. I don't know if you want to play that game. I mean, I think we would all agree that Dak Prescott is the better option over Andy Dalton right now, but by how much?
Cincinnati does a lot of what Dallas does, meaning they push the ball down the field. So it's a good spot for Dalton from that standpoint because Dallas doesn't run a lot of crossers. They don't run man beaters. They don't run pick plays. They'll line up and just throw comebacks and seams and posts and that. That's what Dalton did in Cincinnati. So, and he's going to have some decent talent down there. You know, so
I think Dak Prescott at his best is considerably better than Andy Dalton.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
So I think that there is a large gap there.
There's a gap, but if Andy Dalton is he a C plus quarterback?
Sure. He's better than that. Yeah. I can give you that. He'll get B minus.
Oh. Yeah.
B minus. What do you think Dak Prescott is?
He's A minus.
We're talking at his best. Yeah, I mean he's the greatest guy at his best.
He's a degree better, you know, if you want to rank him in, you know, 4 or 5 on that scale. It's not like he is so obviously so much. No, there's no way. There's a way that if Dak were to hold out and to, you know, force their hand on this and they start playing Dalton, they're like, you know, it's just not all that different. We know in crunch time that he can't do this or he can't do that. And Dak Prescott was phenomenal for them at times last year. But look where that got them. If they reorganize their scheme and if they do a few different things offensively and defensively, for that matter, stuff that neither Dalton nor Prescott would have any impact on whatsoever, I don't know that their win-loss record ends up being tons different switching from one to the other. Now, they want Prescott. Prescott's better. We all agree on that.
Well, then I guess that's even more of a good reason why they signed him.
Yeah, but I think Prescott's going to come to his senses. He's not going to force their hand on it all that much. He doesn't want to be out of a job because of it.
Well, I don't think that the Dallas Cowboys are going to choose to go with Andy Dalton long-term over Dak Prescott. I think they still want Dak Prescott to make a return there, even if he does hold out.
And even if it's just a camp holdout, though, you're in better shape with Andy Dalton there as your backup at $3 million. And if he plays, it could get up to seven, I know. But for $3 million, I thought they did well on the money, too, for a backup. $3 million nowadays for a backup is not a lot of money. And I was talking about it last week with Tommy Curran, and he said, let's say he gets $4 million as a backup. I said, let's assume he gets five, because quarterback money gets stupid on backups. And, you know, let's assume he's got a good agent and can squeeze the extra million right now and get five. He ended up getting three. And I just thought Dallas, for them, it's a good move. I totally understand why they want him. It's insurance for a camp holdout or a holdout period from Dak. And Andy Dalton's not great. He's not going to win you anything, but he doesn't totally suck either. So he's just one of those middle-of-the-road guys. He's a veteran. He's from there. I say good for the Cowboys. I feel like the Cowboys, in a strange way, I'm glad he did not come to New England.
And I'd
I'm
say
glad
good for
New
the
England
Patriots.
Had no interest.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I think it's a good deal for Dallas. Good job, Dallas. That's a good move. They're in a different place than where the Patriots are.
It's good that New England has a plan. That to me tells me New England's got a plan. Like they like what they have. And this wouldn't be a reach. Like, oh, look who's there. Oh, crap, we better grab him. And then we'll have a three-man rotation, like, for one practice to where we could split reps and have an open competition. No. No. That's what if you would bring Andy Dalton here, you'd have to get rid of Brian Hoyer. So, I'm glad they have a plan. Their plan's Jared Stidham. Let's go. Let's find out.
I still think the Patriots will carry a third quarterback, though.
Yeah, I think they'll put one on the practice squad. I do.
No, I mean on the roster.
So you think they have an open roster squad, but it'll be inactive during the week.
Yes. That on Sundays for game day is not going to be active. But I'm willing to bet they find, whether it be someone that's currently one of the undrafted guys that they brought in.
They got to really, really like one of these two young kids then.
Yeah, or so, you know how that goes. You get to camp and someone gets cut at the end of a training camp somewhere.
Sure.
And it's someone you like and you've scouted in the past.
Yeah.
And you add them onto your team. Because the Patriots, much of Bill Belichick's tenure has had rosters with a third quarterback on it. So I would not be surprised. And I pretty much expect them to have a third quarterback. Don't know who that will be, but I think that will happen this year because, well, they've done it in the past, and you never know what opportunities will come up to acquire a player between now and then. But here's what we do know. The Patriots are trying to find their way and prepare for life after Tom Brady. That's what's been going on all offseason since March when Brady departed. And Devin McCourty, probably, I guess, the biggest team leader left, right?
Yeah, him and Edelman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he and Edelman and Hightower.
Devin McCourty had some things to say about life after Tom. We'll get to those comments coming up next. And your call, 617-779-0985. All day long on everything that is not going on in sports. Here on Soul Hack and Bertrand. Don't go anywhere.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, the big story of the offseason for you guys is obviously Tom leaving and going to Tampa Bay. Did you think during the course of the year that this was going to be it?
No, not during the course of the year. And I think part of it is because you're not thinking about it. And especially, you know, with him, you're not thinking about, you know, Tom Brady leaving at the end of the season. And, you know, I read, you know, where he said that, you know, he kind of knew coming in. But I said that another interview I did, I said, just in Tom fashion, like no teammate, I don't think ever thought that of him. He's always there giving it all, giving it his all. You know, always the most prepared guy I've ever played with. So, you don't see it coming, but it's here now. And I think one of the biggest things we have to do as a team and each as players individually is move on and lock in and get focused on life without Tom, not just to harp on it and talk about, but to actually move on and try to prepare. And I think the virtual meetings has been good for us to start that process.
That's Devin McCourty with Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. doing an interview talking about life after Tom, saying that one of the biggest things they have to do as a team and as players individually, as you heard him say, is move on and get focused with life after Tom. I think that's interesting that he thinks that's one of the biggest things that team is going to have to overcome.
Because I think it starts with him, right? I mean, he's been here forever for his whole career. And being a team captain, along with Tom, you're in the captain's meetings, right? I think Tom sits with Matthew Slater or sat with Matthew Slater on a team plane. And I think McCourty and the other captains are right there to the middle of him. So there's been a lot of communication with he and Tom. And as a defensive unit, you come to the sideline, you're looking down. Okay, what's the offense doing? And that guy's not going to be there anymore. There's not going to be any more looking. Okay, Tom Brady's going to save our ass if we give up an 80-yard drive. You got to learn to win differently. It starts with him because he now has, in essence, become Tom Brady. He's the team leader, along with Edelman. You mentioned it before with Hightower. And there's something interesting with the virtual meetings, right? Because I think what it does right now for a time, you don't have that shock of walking in the locker room goes, oh, Brady's locker room's not there. Or, oh, they took that picture of Tom down. Or that memento of Tom or that moment is now not there anymore. I bet there's some changes to the locker room, to the training room, where there's been a lot of signage of Brady. And justifiably so. Brady should be, you know, put up there with all the other guys. But I bet some stuff changed. And not having to go in every day and see Brady's locker or where Brady sat, especially for the veterans, I think may help that transition. Because once camp opens and starts and you're going to be forced, you're not going to have time to be thinking about all that stuff because everything's going to be condensed here once we get up and running.
Okay, so isn't it easier for Devin McCourty in the defense than it is the offense?
Yeah, because you don't see him on the sideline. The other unit will be out just, while you're there too.
Like you the defense, nothing changes. They didn't lose a player.
Yeah, but defense,
they didn't lose anybody. Defense
has to carry it. Like defense has to get back to the way they played at the beginning of the year, last year. Like, that's how you win football games. Offense didn't do
jack
squat.
Okay, yeah, but it's easier to tell yourself, you know what, we got to be a better unit. We've got to be more impactful on the outcome of games. We've got to really lock in and focus and be the best we can be. That's a sort of an easy path to say we've got to go this way. If you're the offense, you say, well, who's our quarterback? If Julian Edelman is trying to move on from Tom Brady, how does he do it? Who does he go work out with in the offseason? Who does he go catch footballs with in Montana Right? What does he do that with?
Say, Beadle, the good news for them is at least nothing changes until they get through OTAs. It really, nothing is different for them from last year or the last 2 years because Brady wasn't there anyway. But yes, once they get to the point where Brady would have been back, then it's going to be different. It's got to be an entirely different mindset. Whereas even if it were never said out loud, even if they never, you know, spoke about it, they said, okay, worst case scenario, Tom will figure it out, and he will either find someone who's open, or he is not going to throw a pick, or he's not going to screw this up. Now they have to approach it from a coordinator standpoint and from a player standpoint. Oh no, this, you know, we are not relying on, you know, the best player on the field to necessarily run this anymore. It's going to be much more of a team effort. Even if, yes, that was the mantra all along, of course, it's not just one guy back there. Of course not. Yeah, when you have Tom Brady back there, you can say whatever you want, but you still got Tom Brady back there. And now that you don't.
Edelman's got to have his head on a swivel. He's got to have his head on a swivel from the get-go because, hey, I might be running a route here and I see a coverage where I'm doubled. I know Tom wouldn't throw it to me here, so I'm going to pull up. And there's one where Stidham can put it out for you and you might get hung out to dry. So there's got to be. There's got to be enough reps to get it down to where you have a little bit of confidence instead of at the beginning because it's going to take a while. You got to play games, and that confidence will continue to grow. But there's such a high level, extreme level of confidence with Brady for 20 years of working with these guys that we know where he's going with the ball. We know the timing aspect of it. We know the demands of what he wants and where he wants us to be. Stidham's got to be able to command some of that. And, you know, and that's on Josh, too, to get him to step up, you know, to where you got to be a little bit of a personality. You know, you're the leader of the team now. Guys are looking at you in the huddle. It's a veteran offensive line up front. You know, new guys, receivers, they got to respond. N'Keal Harry's got to be better. You know, all this stuff with Stidham.
Okay.
James
so
White.
N'Keal,
you know,
Harry.
Is he going to come to me on a slant against this coverage?
Anybody else, right? Anybody else, yes. But the point is, who's the quarterback and who are you getting on the same page with? If you don't know that, if it's true competition going into camp, and the critics of Tom Brady last year were saying that he didn't get enough reps, he wasn't around enough during the spring that year or the year before, and he wasn't putting in the work to get all those extra reps. Who does that now? They don't even have a quarterback. They don't have one named.
Right.
So if you're one of these guys that's trying to move on from Tom Brady and be the best that you can be for 2020 and beyond, it's easy to say if you're Devin McCourty. It's easy to say if you're on that side of the ball. Offensively, it's not so easy. If, as you just mentioned, David Andrews, getting on the same page and being completely comfortable with his quarterback. Yeah. He had a real connection with Brady. Who does he build the connection with now over the next 3 months?
Yeah, and here's the thing. Is Hoyer – now, I know when Tom wasn't here for the OTAs and Hoyer was here, Hoyer ran all the offseason stuff. So they would go to a field down at Foxborough, and there's a couple ones that they could go to where he would get everybody up, go through the plays, run two-minute drills, do all that stuff, even prior to the OTAs, just guys that want to throw. I wonder if Hoyer is going to do that with Stidham. You know what I mean? Or is there going to be separation here? Is Brian here to really compete? Because if you're going to compete, I'm not going to do anything to get Stidham ready. You know what I mean? I'm not going to coach a kid up. I'm going to do what I got to do to win this job. So these guys are going to get together and throw even during these times. So don't tell me they're not getting together and throw. Everybody's just sitting at home. No, they're finding the field. They've got a yard. So anybody could have a field. And you get together and you throw. And you go out there and catch. And it could be Hoyer's living in Newton. So I know where he lives in Newton. So he's got to be the ringleader here of guys that are still around here, whether it's Edelman, whether it's Harry, and getting these guys on the same page and just start throwing to play pitch and catch. Not hanging out in people's houses, but let's just go out and throw the ball around. Bring your gloves. See you there. Bring your hand sanitizer. You know? I bet Brian's doing that right now.
And is Stidham doing it too?
That's my question. I don't know. I don't know if he picked up the phone and said, "Hey, Jared, we're all meeting here at this field. Do you want to come?"
And this is sort of my point. So great, if he's throwing, that's wonderful. What if he's not the quarterback?
that's what I'm saying.
Hopefully, made the player he was throwing to better. But
see, because if Brian does that, then he's like conceding the job. Like, I'm going to get you ready. No, I got to get myself ready. So I mean, I don't know how much is he. Was he really promised to compete for the starting job? Because if that's the case, I'm not doing anything to get that guy ready. There's going to be a split there.
So life after Tom. That's what the Patriots need to deal with, and I think it'll be easier for the defense than it will be the offense. I mean, what does that really entail for a defense? Yeah. Oh, we don't have our quarterback. Well, you didn't play with the quarterback anyways. You guys were never on the field at the same time. You didn't have anything. You didn't have to game plan with Tom Brady. You didn't have to get ready for the season with Tom Brady. You guys were doing your own thing anyway.
But see, Brady got them ready too. Because like I was watching they had the defensive backs up for that top 100. So it was Revis and all those guys, Dion, are sitting there talking. And Revis talked about the year with Tom. He goes, "Man, we couldn't stand that guy when we played for the Jets." He said, "And I come here and we become, you know, teammates. And it forces you to sort of become friends. But, man, did we compete in practice. He went at me, I went at him. And that's how we both got better, you know, as that season went on, going to the Super Bowl." And that's kind of what you're starting to hear from guys like Gilmore and McCourty, that Stidham would push them in practice on the scout team. Well, you're not on the scout team anymore. So how much of that back and forth are you going to have there? You're going to have that the good juices that are flowing that are fun. And I think Gilmore's a guy who could separate that, because you get on the field, you compete. I'm not going to be your friend out there. You know, that's the type of stuff you need to push you to get better, and I hope Stidham could do that.
617-779-0985, the phone number. We have a couple of minutes here before we get to headlines. What do you make of Cam Newton's latest that he may not sign with the team, though, until a starter gets hurt somewhere, because he's not willing to go in and compete or be a backup?
Tells me he's really selective as to where he wants to play, and then I'm not interested in him. You know, if I get a spot here on the team and I'm willing to bring you in and compete, the fact you actually don't want to compete and you put yourself on a pedestal where you really don't have a job right now makes me disinterested in you. I would not be interested in him for that type of comment.
So I actually look at it and say, from a financial standpoint,
it's smart on his point.
It's probably smart.
Right.
It's probably the right move. From a football standpoint and an image standpoint to what you just talked about.
Look at Dalton. Dalton, boom. Hey, we got a guy that's franchise tag, but he's not signed yet, Andy. So, hey, we got a spot here. If you want to come back, come on back. Let's go. And he, boom, Dalton got cut when? Friday? Thursday?
It was last
whatever
week.
Middle of last week. Wednesday, whatever day it was. The fact that he gets cut, boom, he's picked up in 4 days. Yeah.
He will not, again, the report is that he will not accept a job as a backup quarterback.
Jesus.
Joe Person was the one who had reported this. He tweeted, had this discussion with someone last week. No way Cam Newton signs with anyone as a backup. Continue to rehab and wait for travel restrictions to lift so teams can examine him. Worst case, he waits until a starter gets hurt. No way he signs with anyone as a backup. I mean, that basically says, yeah, there's no way I'm going in where there's a perceived starter. I'm not competing for my job.
Yeah, good luck to that team that signs him because of that reason. And when your starter gets healthy, then you got an issue.
Except we are, what, two seasons removed from Jay Cutler signing for $10 million with the Miami Dolphins.
Good point.
$10 million to come out of retirement and play.
Yeah.
We're not even two seasons removed from that yet. So from a money standpoint, he's probably better off waiting because someone will get an injury and someone will say, we got to get somebody in here. We got to get someone good. Yeah. We can't let our season go to waste.
Like, what do you want to be? How do you want to be viewed? How do people view Cutler?
Right. Know? A former MVP is available, and he's also had extra time to rehab his injury, and he's in great shape because he's had that extra time continuing the workouts that he's been doing, and we should probably take a look at that guy. And by the way, the travel restrictions have been lifted, and he's able to move more freely now, and he just came out to our facility, which is now open, and we got a chance to meet in person, and it went well. So yeah, here's $10 million. Like that could probably happen. I don't think he's going to sign for what Andy Dalton signed for yesterday. You think Cam Newton's willing to sign for $3 million plus incentives?
No, he's not.
I don't think so either. So from a financial standpoint, it probably makes a lot of sense for him to wait. He could make more money, but from a career reviving standpoint, I don't know what that says about him.
It's not a good look.
It isn't.
Not a good look to me. Yeah.
It's just not a great look. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls. If you have any thoughts on the Patriots' life after Tom Brady, Andy Dalton goes to the Dallas Cowboys. And there's been a comparison drawn between the Chicago Bulls and their dynasty and the New England Patriots and theirs. We'll tell you about it. It's from Ian O'Connor. We'll get to that coming up next.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This from ESPN and Ian O'Connor. Headline, why yesterday's Michael Jordan-less Bulls give hope to today's Tom Brady-less Patriots. That's what we've got here from Ian O'Connor today, who says, on occasion, Bill Belichick needs some outside counsel on how to run his football team. Tom Brady's departure from the New England Patriots should certainly mark one of those occasions. He compares the Bulls being without Jordan, not at the end of Jordan's career when he left the Bulls for good, but at the middle when he left the Bulls to go retire and go play baseball in the minor leagues for the White Sox. The Bulls that year without Jordan won 55 games against the odds and came within one highly questionable Game 5 whistle of likely eliminating the same team it had eliminated the previous 3 years, which was the New York Knicks. Had they done that, they would have moved on to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pacers, who they had beat the bag out of all season long. So there is this thought that the year that the Bulls played without Michael Jordan, and Scottie Pippen stepped up and was fabulous, outside of, you know, refusing to play in a crunch critical moment, that they could have made it to the NBA Finals despite the fact that they didn't get out of the second round. So there's that. The Bulls went from winning the championship to not being able to get out of the second round. That's a fact. And Ian O'Connor, you can already tell I'm sort of down on this story. Ian O'Connor wants to draw a comparison between the Bulls without Jordan in the middle of the 90s to what the Patriots are dealing with right now without their Tom Brady, without even naming a quarterback to this point. So, do you see a comparison there, so, in the Bulls coming together as a team, playing more of a team game, which helped them greatly, and the Patriots playing, I guess, more of a team game, less focused on their quarterback, less focused on Brady, and more focused on everybody.
I love the fact that he even says that Belichick needs outside counsel, you know, to how he's going to do his season or run his football team, right? I think Bill always has a plan. I think they were excited when Tom got suspended, going back to that Mike Lynch report back in the spring of that year, where, like, hey, it's going to be okay. We want to see what Jimmy Garoppolo can do for four games here. But Tom's going to come back in week five and be fine. I understand the comparison, because when you look at Kobe, Jordan, and Brady, all those guys, five or more championships, right? So it's a natural tie-in right there. But NFL football with a quarterback at the most crucial position of a franchise that basically has been to 13 title games, you know, within their own conference, a little bit to tough compare the two that way. Especially going back, was that a weaker Knicks team? Was that a weaker NBA? Or was that Bulls team that much damn better or as good without Michael Jordan? I find it hard to believe they were that good without Michael Jordan.
They're a 55-win team. They definitely weren't a bad team.
I know they weren't a bad team. You understand what I'm saying? They caught some good mojo. They won some games. Did what they had to do. But, I mean, come on.
The problem with it is you still had Scottie Pippen on that team. Who is the Scottie Pippen in the Patriots analogy?
That I don't know. Like, who's the – because it's – again, this is where the difference in sport comes up. You had a bona fide superstar in Scottie Pippen. Whether he was paid like one or not, irrelevant. But
second
he was a star.
The NBA on that team. Yeah, he was phenomenal. And, I mean, you can't say the same – you can't say the same about any team in football, like, if you have the best player. I'm like, this is – you know, this is what we talk about when we talk about the NBA – where when it's all said and done, all the coaching and all the scheming and all the planning in the world, more often than not, the team with the best singular player is going to come out on top after a seven-game series. We see it year in and year out, series after series, and whether it was Kawhi Leonard in the championships last year or LeBron James for as many years as they were winning in the Heat, with the Heat and with Cleveland, whoever's got the best guy. Oftentimes, the best player on the field in a football game is on the losing side of it. And they certainly don't win round after round of the playoffs. It doesn't work that way. And it's even harder to determine who the quote-unquote best football player is. What the hell does that even mean? You might have the best quarterback, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. So
right.
When it's 5-on-5,
Hardy's
right.
The NBA is so different.
Oh, yeah, and you've guys got out there playing for the majority of the game, the overwhelming majority of the game, save for a few minutes, especially when you get into the highly contested playoff games. Yes, the one guy makes all the difference. Two guys make all the difference. If you have the two best players in the league and you take the best guy away, well, you've still got the best player in the game. So there you go. You've got Scottie Pippen. I'm not above giving Patriots fans hope and to think there may be something that can be learned from, you know, making up for a huge loss. But between the NBA and the NFL, they're so unbelievably different. I don't know that you can draw a whole lot from what happened with the Bulls from 98 to 99 to what's going to happen with the Patriots now, 20 plus years later.
So well, then I guess you can't compare Brady and Jordan then, as far as championships, right?
Of course you can. Why would you not be able to compare those two?
It's NBA, NFL, it's completely different.
I think it's more of the
wait a second.
No, I'm serious. If you got to say that,
we got corporate Jim back, and we got talk show Jim back. It's good to have talk show.
I can stay shut up. I can keep shut up.
No, Jim.
No. But you know based on what I get, what you're saying, because if then that means Jordan's accomplishments are much greater than Brady's.
Absolutely.
What you're
saying. Yeah.
I would argue that that's probably true.
I don't
necessarily disagree with
that. To go away, come back, and then still win and win the way they won. But I think from the way I compare them and look at it, what I've taken from this series is, man, they'll cut your throat. Their will and their want to win and destroy people, that competitive nature, whatever you're doing, whether you're gambling, whether you're playing golf, whether you're, you know, taking money on a plane, whether you're betting who can ride the fastest bike to work, whatever, you always want to win.
Yeah, but then why did Scottie Pippen ask out of a playoff game when the first year Jordan was out and Tony Kukoc had to take the last shot?
Because Pippen's different. I don't view Pippen. I don't put Pippen up there with these guys. He's just a sidecar, man.
I think the comparison of this article, Beetle, is you take the best player in the world off of a team and you basically leave the rest of the team the same. It's not. There are a few more changes with the Patriots compared to the Bulls.
By the way, they didn't do.
That's comparable, Jim.
Which they didn't do. The team is not even the same.
It's pretty much the same. You've got a couple of free agents that left, but it's pretty much the same team.
I think defensively you lost quite a bit. And I think that when you look at this and say, you know, you go from, okay, they're not going to be quite as good, but they won't totally suck, is sort of the argument here. Because, again, he started with a championship team with Jordan. The following year, they don't get out of the second round. Let's assume they do get to the Eastern Conference Finals, okay? They still didn't go as far as they did the previous year. Let's assume they went two more rounds than they actually did, and they made it to the finals and lost. They still didn't do as much as they had done the year before. So if you're losing Brady, and you look at the team they just had, which was a loser at home in the wild card round, what does that say about what this team would be this year?
No, that's the flaw in the article, but I'm saying there are some things that do apply, though. It's not just because that doesn't work doesn't mean the article doesn't apply. It's a similar thing.
I think the article itself doesn't apply. I think if you're gonna say that you could still make comparisons with Jordan and Brady, that's fine, but I don't think this article makes much sense for the Patriots. And Will Perdue, who is great in this story, he's quoted throughout, said that if the Patriots have a winning record, they should consider it a hell of an accomplishment. That's what he said. He said, I think if they have a winning record, quite
Who's
honestly,
the Patriots
that would
version
be
of Will Perdue. Who's the Patriots version of Will Perdue? If we're going to compare Jordan and Brady, who's the Perdue of the Patriots? Who's the Pippen? Who's these guys?
Well, somebody like the backup offensive lineman.
Yeah,
somebody
I'm
said,
to
"Well, the Pippen is Bill Belichick. You've got the best one and two."
Oh, please!
No, we're not doing.
Nope. Not doing that.
We're not taking coaches out of player roles and putting players into coaches.
Here's
what'd
be interesting, though. If there's truth to this, and say Bill does need this, we're always looking. Remember when he brought Kobe in to talk to the team, Mamba mentality. He brought Bill Russell in talking about repeating. He's always got something up his sleeve of bringing somebody in. Go get Phil Jackson. Get Phil Jackson to come in and talk about winning as a team without an individual. Maybe that's something. You know, Bill would be interested.
Oh, I thought, as you told us at the start of the segment, that Bill doesn't need to rely on anybody.
No, but
he's always got the plan.
If you think this story has legs, and you think that the comparisons are real, then that would be something Bill would do, and that would tell you the real story then, right?
Well, I think there's always something to be said. Here's the thing that, like, at its basis is a good comparison. A team just lost its undoubted number one star and its best player. Does anyone not believe that?
No.
Like, even internally, I'm not talking about us. We all believe that. But, like, does anyone with the team feel like, oh, we didn't lose our best player this offseason or our most important player?
No.
No, they feel that way, but I think they also feel that it's time. It's time to change. Because we don't have the ability to give him what he wants.
That sounds like acceptance.
And you hit an impasse, right? I mean,
it sounds like that's what they would have. Yeah, when you put it that way, Zoe, and I've heard this, you know, said in other places, it's like, this is what the team wanted. I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either.
If you come to a place of acceptance because it was going to happen and things were headed down this road going back to last offseason, that's one thing. But to say this is what you wished for, well, God, you know.
Might be what Bill Belichick wished for.
Yeah, if we could just get rid of Brady and have Stidham be the starting quarterback.
Does Devin McCourty feel that way if you put him under the truth serum?
Who did you want
as your quarterback this year?
No, they want Brady. They obviously want Brady, but they knew the split was going to come. Like, we talked to Kyle Van Noy. Were you surprised by this? Oh, hell no.
You know? You're talking about negotiations and contracts, and we're just talking about having that guy in the room with you and playing with him. Like, which player was, if you put it straight to them, who did you want as your quarterback this coming year? They'd all say Brady.
The same team, the same players that across the way look at it and go, oh, crap, this game ain't over because they got you-know-who. Nobody has said that about Jared Stidham yet, okay? So let's stop fooling ourselves here.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Speaking of the Bulls, speaking of Jordan, the last dance continued last night with a couple of episodes. It continues to be excellent programming, and we'll give you some thoughts on that coming up. Don't go anywhere.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Peace.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Hey!
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Last Dance continued last night on ESPN. A couple of episodes, episodes number 5 and number 6. And one of the things that I thought was most interesting of the night was, of many things, by the way, there are a lot of things happening in last night's pair of episodes, but the fact that Isaiah Thomas continues to be a villain in the story of Michael Jordan and really in the story of the NBA of the 1990s. They hated this guy. The Dream Team was covered last night, briefly.
There's always one. There's always one you don't like.
And Michael Jordan takes blame, or I shouldn't say he takes the blame or accepts the blame, but said he doesn't care if you want to put it on him for why Isaiah wasn't on the Dream Team. Hardy, as a Pistons fan, were you upset when Isaiah wasn't on the Dream Team?
No, I think at that point we're starting to get inklings that maybe Isaiah wasn't the best guy. But it didn't have anything to do with Jordan. And at the time, nobody knew or talked about anything that was talked about in the previous episodes of The Last Dance, you know, about the non-handshake at the end of the Eastern Conference playoff series, any of that stuff. It really more stemmed from the fallout between him and Magic. And him and Magic were tight. Him and Magic, you know, had still insisted on having their little peck on the cheek at midcourt before their, you know, their playoff games in the championship series when the Pistons played the Lakers. But that cooled off considerably. I mean, those guys got into it. And, I mean, even then, as a Pistons fan, and I'm sure the same thing happened here in Boston, where Magic Johnson was one of those guys where you were rooting against him, you hated the Lakers, you wanted nothing to do with him, but it was hard not to like that guy. You know, it's almost like a Derek Jeter effect, you know?
Charisma.
He was just a guy. It's like, well, how does anyone not like Magic? And if Magic's got a problem with Isaiah Thomas, the biggest Pistons fan in the world is probably thinking, well, that's probably on Zeke then. I don't think it's a Magic Johnson issue as much as it is an Isaiah Thomas issue. When that started happening, we already kind of knew there was something going on with Isaiah Thomas, that he was probably to blame for this, and it wasn't just an outright snub of being left off. There was probably a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, and that is everybody hated him. Let's get to the audio from the show last night.
Okay, well, you don't have to, you know, rub it in. All right, so you didn't have a lot of friends in the league. So what?
Here's the listen to last night, The Last Dance.
Rod Thorne calls me and says, we would love for you to be on the Dream Team. I says, oh, who's all playing? He says, what does that mean? I say, who's all playing? You know, he says, well, the guy you're talking about, or you're thinking about, he's not going to be playing.
All right, we're just going to ask a few things about the Olympics.
All right. No Isaiah Thomas
questions.
Cool.
Now, there has been speculation that your icy relationship with Isaiah Thomas is the reason that he was not selected.
I respect Isaiah Thomas's talent. To me, the best point guard of all time is Magic Johnson, and right behind him is Isaiah Thomas. No matter how much I hate him, yeah, I respect his game. Now, it was insinuated that I was asking about him, but I never threw his name in there.
I don't know what went into that process, I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
The Dream Team, based on the environment and the camaraderie that happened on that team, it was best harmony. Would Isaiah made a different feeling on that team? Yes.
Magic Johnson angry.
He's very upset up there.
At that point, Magic and Isaiah had had their thing. Bird and Isaiah had their thing. And Scotty, man, it's half the team. They did not want to play with him.
They didn't want to play with him. And Jordan asks, who's not playing when he gets the call to be on the Dream Team? Well, what do you mean, who's not playing? I said, who's not playing? So Jordan's like, oh, you want to put it on me? It wasn't me. I didn't make that call. But here he is saying, well, tell me that he's not playing and I will play. Which is basically saying, I'm not going to play if he's playing. It's just asking it in reverse last night. So they really did not like Isaiah. Isaiah, he sucks.
He doesn't suck. You just just heard him say he's the second best point guard
no,
of all time.
He's terrific as a player, but as a person, like everything we've learned about him since as an executive, it just that doesn't sound like a guy you want to be around.
And look, it was a huge honor for those guys, and it was, you know, it was obviously a global story, this, you know, this Dream Team, but it wasn't, I guess it wasn't a statement of like, here are the best of all time or the best of this era, anything like that. No, it was in some ways a goof. They were going to go in. It was predetermined. They were going to roll over every other team, and they wanted to have a good time doing it. And quite frankly, the teams that were going up against the Dream Team, they were going to have a good time being beat by the Dream Team. It was all good feels for that Dream Team. And why screw it up with somebody who is going to bring a bunch of bad feels to that environment? And that's what Isaiah Thomas was going to do. I totally
all
get
this.
It.
Yeah. I watched the Detroit Bad Boys thing the other night. And I saw it before, but then the Magic Isaiah stuff was in there. And when they were playing out in L.A., Magic talked about, you know, he drives the lane. You know what I do? I'm taking him out. And he goes, I'm just going to let him know it's the way it's going to be. You're not going to be able to do that here. And it just makes you miss that type of basketball. Like, it goes to show you how fraudulent, like, the current NBA guys are with their toughness and, you know, don't hold me back or the Kevin Garnett stuff. I'll swing over top. None of those guys could have hung with these guys.
What does it say, though? I mean, I'm arguing against my own guy here, my own team. What does it say that these other guys were able to get together on this Dream Team and they played tough basketball against each other? It wasn't just the Pistons. I mean, the Pistons were the most outrageous about it, and they knew they had to overcome a lack of just, you know, pure talent and skill. Guys like Laimbeer and Mahorn, as good as they were. And, you know, don't discount their skill as basketball players, but let's face it, they weren't as good as the top players on other teams. There were still other teams that were playing hard-nosed physical basketball, and all these other guys managed to put whatever differences they had aside to get together and play ball together. But the one guy that nobody seemed to want involved was Isaiah Thomas.
It's amazing.
You know, look, I don't think Laimbeer would have been in there either, or Mahorn, just because of the feelings, but they weren't the best of the best. All the other guys, the best of the best at their positions and from their respective teams, and they had all had hard battles against each other at some point. They're all like, yeah, but that's on the court. You know, it's nothing personal. With Isaiah, with that whole Bad Boys team, it was personal. They didn't like him. That was the one guy they said, nope, not doing that. There's only so much we can ignore and put aside. That we're not doing.
A couple of other items from last night we will get to after headlines, including Jordan addressing gambling and also Jordan just as a player and how big of a star he became when he had won his third title with the Bulls. That's coming up.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.